Good evening, everyone. I'd like to thank the members here at the Congregation of Watercroft for giving me an opportunity to speak with you all and to share with you all a word from the Word of God. And before I begin, definitely I was sad to hear the news about Sister Clem passing away. I know that was an individual that was near and dear to all of our hearts. And funny thing is that when I was looking through some of my stuff at home, I came across this note that she wrote to me when I was first baptized. And if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and read that now. A note from Ms. Noreen Clem and Mr. Vernon Clem to AJ or Anthony. We are thrilled to know you were baptized. Now you are a child of a king. God is your father. He owns everything that is right and good. So those in Christ are the richest people on the face of the earth. Be genuine in your service to God as a Christian. Be committed, convicted, dedicated to serving God and Jesus. I enjoy teaching you. You were one of my best students. I remember your writing on a piece of paper, the preacher you know you knew and liked. Maybe one day you will be a preacher. God bless you and your family. We love you, Noreen and Vernon Clem. And definitely, I want to make her proud. She definitely lives on in our hearts, and she will always be remembered. Definitely feels like a homecoming of sorts, because at this congregation, I had grown up, was able to be helped by many brothers and sisters sitting in the pews right now, and a lot of people made me the man that I am today. I'm glad to have also my father in attendance and also my sister and last but not least, my mother in spirit. So the title of my lesson tonight is called Titles, Accolades, and Accomplishments. Again, the title is called Titles, Accolades, and Accomplishments. And when you're looking at that particular title or thinking about that, what comes to mind? Well, what comes to my mind are the various things that we hold near and dear to our hearts and in our lives, the things that the world views important, but the things that we as Christians shouldn't necessarily view as important, or at least make it take control of our whole lives. I'll probably be not the first person to tell you, but definitely we can see that some view a man's livelihood by the material things he attains. Or some view a woman's livelihood by the material things that she attains. Some view a man's true worth by the amount of money that he makes. But today, or tonight, I hope to implore the measure of a man and the worth of a woman through the foundation of family and through the glory of God, not necessarily through the strength of success. Definitely, titles, accolades, and accomplishments are things to be desired. Things to be cherished, things to be honored and respected. But I think more so our state as Christians and the attainment of heaven is what we need to be more focused on. We should be focused more on spiritual things compared to the physical things that the world kind of puts on a pedestal. And again, not saying that these titles, accolades, and achievements aren't deserved or something to enjoy, but are we lowering our standards, are we decreasing our value within this life to mere possessions and materials? Has not God made us to be much greater than the world we are living in? Let us be thankful for what God has blessed us with and never usurp our greatness in a manner displeasing to God. If you could turn with me to 1 Timothy, the chapter is 2 and the verse is 12. As here we'll learn a lesson on how we should act in a Christian manner and not to try to usurp our authority or think highly of ourselves than we ought to think. That's referring to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. So if you're here with me, 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting here in verse 12. And the Bible says, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 12, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." And definitely, this verse has been used many a time, and it's in reference to the brothers in Christ who are commanded to participate in the order of worship, and the sisters to be silent during the order of worship. Now, looking at this, is this saying that a man can usurp authority over God? Definitely not. If anything, it's saying that if we're following the same construct that this verse has, to which a woman cannot usurp her authority within the church service, then it will be understood that a man should not usurp his authority over God, i.e., thinking of himself more highly than he ought to think. So we need to definitely be humble as Christians like faith. We need to come into the spirit of meekness. A good example is Christ. Think of Christ and all the titles that he could have attained within his life. He could have been called King of Kings. He could have been called Lord of Lords. But yet he fought the good fight of faith. And he died for every one of us in this auditorium right now. And we should be thankful for that. And we should be going through our lives in the fashion of Christ. As Paul had said, imitate me, for I imitate Christ. And definitely to reiterate this point, to not usurp our authority, we need to understand the natural order of things, how things are placed and where we fall in as Christians, our duties as brothers and sisters, and what the scriptures have to say. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and the verses will be 1 through 3. Because it seems that the world has a funny definition of how the order of things should be. But from the scriptures, we can establish the order that works and the order that should be followed as God has ordained. So if you're here with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting here in verse 1. And this is Paul talking to the Christians in Corinth. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So looking at these verses, we can understand the spiritual hierarchy that we are supposed to follow. We have God, Christ, man, and then woman. And it's not something to where, because the woman cannot usurp authority over the man, that the man is supposed to take advantage of the woman in a wrongful manner. It's a hierarchy and a chronological order of respect. It's something that should help build up our relationships as Christians and not tear down our relationships as Christians. So in saying all of that, I want to focus on the first part of my topic, which is considered titles. And as far as this, I'm concerning on titles that the world seems to put too much importance into or seem to get carried away with. And the titles that I will be looking at tonight would be doctor, professional, and reverend. Now, I would say we couldn't have any problem, you know, obtaining the office of a doctor or a professional. My sister is a doctor. I definitely respect the work that she does. She helps to see patients, I would say, from 1 to 92 every day, trying to treat and heal their ailments. There are a lot of great professors as far as in higher learning institutions that have vital information and resources that we can learn from and apply to our hearts. But, of course, we can't let the title of doctor or professor get to our head to where we think we're better than God. Because once we think we know everything and then we look at the scriptures as if it's useless, then we're pretty much crucifying Christ afresh. We're pretty much thinking that we have used God for what we needed him for and that we found a better way. But the only way is the Lord's way. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and we need to recognize that or else suffer the greater condemnation for it. So again, there's nothing wrong having the title of doctor or professor. But we should not let these titles, as far as the prefixes and suffixes, get to our head. Just because we have a DR in the front or we have a MD or PhD on the end doesn't make us any better than a person that doesn't have that. In fact, people that don't necessarily have those credentials can be considered some of the most brilliant minds of our day. It's just that they haven't been seen or haven't been recognized as such. But we as Christians should have that spirit of meekness and humility to go out into the world, that when we're talking to others about Christ, that we can see, we can let the beauty of Jesus be seen from us into them, and also see the good in them and try to build up their character and confidence so they will want to be converted to Christianity. And again, we do not want to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, referring to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, because if we go too far to think that we're better than God, whoever wants to exalt himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And that's referring to Matthew 23 in verse 12. So, in saying that, we should want to rather honor and revere God. A lot of people want to place the title of reverend upon a particular man coming behind the pulpit, but when you think of the terminology and the definition of reverend, that wouldn't be necessarily the best term to put to just a physical man. And I'll explain why. Just turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, and we'll be looking at verses 8 through 10. So again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doctors or professors, but I think you've all come across that one individual that seemed to want to hold something to you because they know something that you don't, and then you have to prove something to them. To me, I'm not really coming from that train of thought. I'm coming from the train of thought that respect has to be earned before it's given. And what better way to earn respect than doing things the right way by how God has established and ordained them. So if you're with me in Matthew 23, looking here at verse 8, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. And what is this particular set of scriptures referring to? It's not necessarily referring to father in the physical sense, but it's referring to father in the spiritual sense. And when we try to look to a physical man and give him a title of the spiritual father, we're automatically setting him to a standard that we know that he cannot fulfill, because man is not God. God is God, and we have to worship him. We shouldn't be worshiping man or worshiping our own selves, or else we will be thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to. So as far as the terminology of reverend, that would be something that would be focused on God rather than man, because God deserves all praise, and he is the father of all. He is the author and finisher of our faith, and he is our spiritual father and his spiritual son, being Christ. And then looking here down in verse 12, of the same chapter, chapter 23, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased or humbled, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And we just want to remember that Christ had all power and authority and deserved big titles, but he remained humble. Something that we can definitely learn from in today's time. He could have been called King of Kings and Lord of Lords because of his gift of salvation, yet we must emulate his demeanor and life on earth and not be caught up on receiving the glory that comes with his titles. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because there's something that we must understand, that there is a power within humility and meekness and following the scriptures and following under the authority of God. We have to understand that being in service is actually a benefit and a power, and is not a weakness, as some may consider it within the working world or the corporate world. It's something that strengthens our character. It's something that improves our morality and also our spirituality. So if you're with me here in 1 Peter, the chapter is 2, and we're starting here at verse 4. To whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him should not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, if we're so focused on titles and we're so focused on having a position of power, we're actually taking away from the building that the chief cornerstone is Christ. We're not really being a lively stone. We're actually being, I guess, a dead stone, if you will, if there would be such a thing. A better analogy to that is the wise man that built his house upon the rock. That's the foundation that we want to be a part of, and we don't want to be a part of the foundation of the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. Because we know when the rains come, the wise man's house is going to stand. The foolish man's house is going to fall. So when you're looking at those individuals, wherever you may be, if you're an individual being bullied at school, if you're an individual being picked on by coworkers at work, or you're an individual that is being disrespected within the public sphere, just know that when you're choosing to be a Christian of like faith, you're standing up for what is right in the midst of whatever wrong is going on within the world. We have to understand that our power comes from God, and our power doesn't come from any man. So if our power doesn't come from man, man cannot take that power away from us. If we understand what God would have us to do within the scriptures, we would be that much more confident in ourselves, and we could gain and garner that will and inspiration to go on with life and to not be afraid of what we stand for and believe in. And again, as Paul had said, imitate me as I imitate Christ, which is coming from 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. And my next point, as far as titles, you can only be called a name which represents your true character. Now, I repeat that just one more time. You can only be called a name which represents your true character. I remember as a little kid growing up in elementary school, I would feel kind of bad because I had people that would pick on me and make fun of me and call me names. And then I think it just hit me, you know, four or five years back that the names that they were calling me were actually a definition of how they were acting or how they were feeling inside. So if they wanted to call me a jerk or they wanted to call me a wimp, truthfully, when you go back to their own mentality or whatever they were going through, maybe within their family situation, within their life, they are the ones who felt like jerks and wimps. They were the ones that felt worthless inside. But that's the special thing when you're coming to the Church of Christ, that God makes you feel worthy. God makes you feel important, and God makes you feel respected. And I think that's something that is needed in today's time. Just a little bit of respect, just a little bit of tender loving kindness, if you will. So, you know, if we are truly being Christians of like faith, let us act as such. Anyone who's calling us anything else, we know it to be false if we are to be the ones that are the royal generation and the chosen priesthood, or royal priesthood and chosen generation. So we do not want to act as the Pharisees did, who took their titles to their head. I think the phrase comes to mind, do as I say, not as I do, where they would be able to try to usurp their authority over others to do the right thing, but they themselves were living a contradictory life. Turn with me to John chapter 12, as I'm going to expound upon that point. John chapter 12, looking at verses 42 through 50. And the Bible reads, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. So we see here Christ defending himself yet again in the midst of the Pharisees who were jealous of the attention that Jesus was getting. But as we know, Jesus was perfect throughout his whole life, so he was forever righteous. There was nothing wrong that he had done. Even when you look at the crucifixion, there should have been no reason why he had to be crucified, but we understand the reason behind that, and we're thankful for the sacrifice that he had made for us. But back to John chapter 12, because the Pharisees were so jealous of this, they usurped their power and authority over the people that were in the synagogue, to which they made them afraid to even speak of Christ. They made them afraid to stand up and represent the things that Christ was saying. And it's sad when you look at the same thing that seems to be happening today. Those who have power and influence, who know the truth, but want to hide it from others and want to try to use their influence to make you do otherwise. But I'm telling you tonight that you shouldn't stand for that. You shouldn't fall susceptible to the temptations that the world tries to give you. But you have to fight against the snares of the devil by putting on the whole armor of God, as referenced to in Ephesians chapter 6. You shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel or God's word, because it is the power to salvation. And that's referring to Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we don't want to act as the Pharisees. We don't want to look at the title of doctor and professor and think that once we reach that goal, that that's it for our lives. Because when we're focused on being Christians, we're focusing on being spiritually minded. Spiritual mindedness compared to physical mindedness is so much better, because our spirituality transcends that which is only physical. So we're actually more understanding and more in tune with what we should do as Christians, are like faith, rather than if we were just in the world. So don't act as the Pharisees. You want to be happy to be considered a Christian. There's no better honor than to be considered a brother and a sister in Christ. And being a brother and sister in Christ, we should want to take a page from Christ's book, literally, because we know that the word is Christ, and we want to represent Christ everywhere we go and everything that we do. We don't want to represent the world, because we know that the way the world goes is in the path of destruction. But the way that Christ went is in a way that was able to bring us salvation. Let us desire to be known for our work in the church rather than the titles given to us by man. And again, no one is worthless, but everyone is worth something in God's eyes. And even though the world may try to break you down and make you feel like you're completely worthless, I know they've tried it on me many a time, you have to remember, and I'm telling you, and I hope that you're telling me, that everyone is worth something in God's eyes. We have to remember that. We have to see that worth in ourselves, and we have to see that worth in God's word. The scripture that comes to mind is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Which says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And we see here in verse 17 that it is not impossible to be the Christian that God calls us to be, because when we continue to study our word and apply those lessons learned in our hearts and truly act upon what God wants us to do, we can become those men and women of God that can become perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So as far as concluding titles, instead of wanting physical titles or wanting to be the world's definition of what's masculine and what's feminine, we want to be God's definition of what's masculine and feminine. We want to be spiritually masculine and spiritually feminine. As far as the sisters in Christ, definitely want to strive to be women of great price. Want to strive to be teachers. Want to strive to be lights of the community. Want to strive to be nurturers. Looking at Proverbs 10 through 31. And that's something that you can get the chance to read in your spare time. Looking at the qualities of a woman of great price. And the note that I had as far as Sister Clem. I definitely respect and honor the things that she had done while she was living. And those are lessons learned that I can apply to my heart for the rest of my life. So I guess those kids sitting out in the audience, when you're sitting in Sunday school, you got to remember to answer those questions and be able to fill out your homework so that you're ready for the next time. Because when you get to the point where I'm at, you're going to have to answer questions. The world's going to ask you, what do you believe in? And you can't just be up coming to them and say, I don't know, you know. Because if you ask them, you know, what's the stat line for LeBron James, they'll tell you 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 steals. And then when they come around and try to ask you and tell you, okay, so what does 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 say? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says pray without ceasing. I guess you just keep that in your memory banks. But it's important to recognize every Christian has a responsibility. Every Christian has a duty to fulfill, and not just the brethren who are participating in the order of worship, but the sisters as well. We are working all individually with what God would want us to do and putting all our individual efforts together collectively. Even us meeting together is a great spiritual endeavor where we are admonishing one another, or we're worshiping with one another in the admonition of the Lord. So what Sisters of Christ will want to have, being a woman of great price, being a teacher and the light of the community for the brothers of Christ, we should definitely want to desire to be leaders. We should want to desire to be preachers. We should want to desire to be holders of a church office. We should want to have those qualities mentioned in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 13. We want to have those qualities of an elder, those qualities of a deacon, because we want to be found blameless before God for our entire lives. And it's something that when we have the opportunity, we should take advantage of that opportunity and really make God proud for the creation that he has made. So in finishing that, the next part of the topic that I want to focus on are accolades. And what am I referring to as far as accolades? Well, I just want you to picture this. Millions of people in the stands watching around the world. Select individuals chosen and praised for their physical prowess. Millions of dollars of revenue that could be spent on the betterment of society rather than entertainment. And the question could be, what could this be? And the answer is concerts, sporting events, and award ceremonies. Now, just look at the comparison between concerts, sporting events, and award ceremonies and the order of worship or having to come to worship on Sundays. Isn't it ironic that all these concerts and sporting events take place on a Sunday? Sometimes when you're watching, what, the Emmys or the Grammys, it's hyped up as the most important event of the year. You can't miss this. You have to see this. It only happens once a year. But the question that I want to ask, since when was my soul salvation based upon a TV program? When did my faith become based upon if the Ravens or Orioles win? And I bet when you leave tonight, you'll probably go out and talk to one of your friends. Oh, man, you know, my Ravens won today. I'm going to have a good week this week. Or, oh, man, my Redskins lost. I'm going to have a bad week this week. I mean, first of all, how are we putting ownership on a football team with players that are making money that we're never going to see? Why are we putting our faith on something that is pretty much useless? We would be wasting our time. We have a much better chance of making use of our lives and studying God's word rather than, you know, seeing what happened with the latest fad. It's definitely important to think that why can't we say instead of, you know, oh, my Ravens or my Orioles or my Redskins or my Nationals or my Capitals, why can't we say, thank you, my Lord, for giving me another day to live, another day to breathe, another day to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for giving me another opportunity to be faithful to you, to be considered righteous in your sight. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be an example to my community of the right way to be and not the wrong way to be, as so many in the world have fallen susceptible to. And it's just funny when you're looking at the world and how they act. It just seems like it's all in the media's propaganda of having you accept idolatry. And how many people forget God and don't go to church, yet they religiously watch football games as if what happens changes their lives personally, as I had briefly mentioned before. Why do people get so hung up on celebrity and fame? I mean, I don't think it's really important for me to know all the details about Beyonce when it's God who has the deciding factor on whether I'm going to go to heaven or to go to hell. Beyonce has nothing to do with that. LeBron James has nothing to do with that. Barack Obama has nothing to do with that. It's God that has something to do with that. Also, what do the Grammys, Emmys, O'Brien Trophy, Lombardi Trophy, Stanley Cup, and that's for hockey, World Heavyweight Belt have in common? These are all relics of idolatry. I mean, when you compare all these athletes competing for a metal piece of, or a piece of metal, and they go to great lengths, I mean, taking steroids and all these performance-enhancing drugs just to win, I think as an animated movie Cars had said, an empty cup. It's just sad to see. And I mean, it's just a foreshadowing, how can I say it, foreshadowing, or pretty much a replica of that which happened in the Old Testament. I believe you guys remember when the fall of Israel happened after the kingdom was overthrown during Solomon's reign, when I believe one stone wasn't able to topple upon another. You had a period of time to which it was kings that reigned for, what, 2 weeks, for maybe a month, sometimes even a day. But it was continuous war and bloodshed just for one position of power. And if we look in today's time and look into the future, I feel like we might be heading down the same path if we are trying to be totally power hungry and not trying to be humble and putting our efforts together to come together as one community. So instead of, acting as crabs in a bucket, if you will, to try to search for these relics of idolatry, we need to be happy to have what we have in our hands right now, and that's the Word of God, because that's the accolade that we should be most proud of, being able to read the Word and understand it and apply it to our hearts, and even maybe help other people to see the error in their way and the right way to go. And what should our mentality be as far as accolades or even titles? If you would turn with me to Luke 17 and verse 10. And this is a verse that you can keep in mind when you're feeling down and feeling like what you're doing is worth nothing. But you have to remember it's worth everything to God. Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. And the Bible reads, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do." I know there's many times, especially those who are out in the working world, where there is some things that you didn't feel like doing. There are some times where you feel like quitting or giving up, but you knew that continuing on and fighting the good fight of faith was more important than letting it all fall down. And we have to understand that our actions in God are not going in vain. In fact, they're the actions of the most worth. Because when we're looking at the world's actions, those are the actions of the least worth. We want to do those things that can have us found worthy so that we can make heaven our home. Which brings me to the last point as far as accomplishments. It's kind of crazy when you look at the accomplishments in the world's perspective, such as what I would call a lifetime achievement award. I think it was a couple of years where I heard Michael Jackson received a lifetime achievement award, but he had received it posthumously. I hope I'm pronouncing the word correct. But basically what that means is that he received an award after he died. What good is receiving an award if you're dead and you're not able to receive that award? But when we're looking at the gift that is heaven, if we're able to obtain heaven, and we can obtain heaven if we are found righteous in God's eyes, that's a gift that we can enjoy, because even when we pass away, that's what's guaranteed to us when we pass away, if we're found righteous in God's eyes. So looking at titles, accolades, and accomplishments, the titles that we want to strive for as far as brothers in Christ, you know, leaders, those who want to participate in the order of worship, those who want to desire to be preachers, those who want to desire to be deacons, those who want to desire to be elders, and for the sisters in Christ, being women of great price, being teachers, being nurturers, being lights within the community. As far as the accolades that we want to attain, let it be those accolades of being within God's word. Let it be the accolade of being baptized, being added as a member into the church. And as far as accomplishments, when you really think about it, there's no greater accomplishment than making it to heaven. And I hope tonight we want to make heaven our eternal home. That's my lesson for tonight. If anyone wants to ask for the prayers of the brethren, please do so at this time as we stand and sing the invitation song.